Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 15 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom representing the Kingdom. Myself, Brad Simcox, aka the Brit Chief, and our headlines editor, Tom Childs. We're going to be talking a couple of things this week. Usual Chiefs news, as always, but we'll also be giving you our hot takes from training camp, from Chiefs training camp. But first, we were on the Out of a Structure podcast with Matt Stagner and Ron Kopp, weren't we, Tom?
We were. We had a good time. We had a good time with those guys on Tuesday. Like, normally when you record, you can't wait to get off. Like, no offense. But with those guys, we were on, like, the call with them for, like, a good hour and a half to 2 hours. And when it comes to time when those guys had to go back to their day jobs, I was a little bit gutted. Not going to lie. I could have sat and recorded with them for another 2 hours. It's so easy to talk to. I encourage anyone to go back and listen to the show. It's a bit different from a normal Chiefs podcast because you have to wait about 50 minutes until you actually get to any Chiefs chat. But, you know, it's an Anglo-American show. We compare countries. We talk about what we like about each other's country, about things we necessarily don't like about different sports. Football, I explain the offside rule using barbecue, like, There's lots of things to go and check it out for. So please go back, check out that show and tell us what you think.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And thanks to Matt and Ron for inviting us onto the show. We're hopefully going to return the favour during the season, I think. I think we should do. So it's only right, isn't it? Now that we've got our differences aside, you know, from Americans and British, it's only right that we invite them on. Make them have a cup of tea or something, you know. I don't know. Yeah. All right, then, mate. Should we get straight onto the Chiefs news?
Let's do it. There's plenty to talk about.
Let's do it. This was fantastic news. The franchise is back. And, mate, seriously, when I woke up in the morning, and this had already been out like 8 hours beforehand. I think it was already aired on YouTube. And as soon as it flashed up on my YouTube kind of notifications that the franchise episode one was on, I sat in my bed and I watched it. And for the first, I think it was 4 minutes and 40 odd seconds, I think it was, the goosebumps that were coming off me from that first intro, it had me on such a roller coaster, up, down, angry, sad, happy, excited. Yeah. It was just the most amazing 4 minutes and 43 seconds of my entire life. And I think the first thing I did, I went onto our kind of group chat that we've got. And I was like, have you guys seen this? Have you watched it? And some of you had already watched it already. And you're like, yeah, it's amazing. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm sure Mrs. Simcox or Mrs. Brit Chief is pleased to hear that. Let's hope she doesn't listen to this show. No, but you're right. It was the first time that I've seen anything to do with the Super Bowl, like the terrible Super Bowl since it happened. Yeah. It's this Super Bowl has left my memory, basically. I haven't watched any of the highlights, even like the hero plays and Mahomes, like the sideways throw and the horizontal throw and the spinning round throw into the back of the end zone trying to hit Byron Pringle. I've not watched any of the highlights since. So for me, all of those memories come from the actual night itself. Mm. But even watching the franchise, I didn't mind seeing them then because, like, you're watching the intro and you're looking at, like, how much work has gone into this offseason when it's going through, like, Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, Carl Long, et cetera, et cetera. And you're thinking, this team is, like, in the first 4 minutes, you can see that this team means business, like, from the coaching staff to the personnel department, all the way through to the media department. Like Dan Van Wy, the guy that does the films for Chiefs, that man is a genius. We've worked with him. We worked with him for the Legion of Zoom cast, Legion of Zoom video back in at the start of the year. And like, seriously, like Spielberg, watch your back because because
that guy deserves an Oscar for this, for what he produced. Seriously, mate, it was one of the best things that I've seen for a long, long time that's Chiefs related.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought, my God, this is like, I like to edit videos and things like that and hype videos, but to get to that kind of level, it was just off the charts. I mean, yeah. The voiceovers that were on there, the comments that were made on there,
yeah.
the piecing together of all of the footage, from, like you said, from the Super Bowl, obviously, to the point where the Chiefs are kind of brushing this off and setting themselves up now with, you know, a good chance of probably going back to the Super Bowl again, dare I say, yeah. Touch wood. But the music that was playing with it as well, I think it was Greta Van Fleet, I think it was, that was the music that's playing in the background. I've actually downloaded that on my Spotify now.
Wow.
Because it was such a powerful thing. And I don't know, I thought it was just me overreacting to it, but it seems to have got a really good reaction from Chiefs Kingdom.
Yeah, and the whole episode was good. Like, one thing I did wonder when I was watching it was, I wonder whose collection of cards is worth more money, yours or Andrew Wiley's? Like, if you had to, based on what he said right there, who do you reckon in monetary value has a more valuable card collection?
Oh, I don't know, because there's some goodies in there in my couple of cases that I've got. So I might have to actually get in contact with him, just see if we can work out some trades.
Really?
Yeah, I might have to do that. But he's big into his Pokemon, and I'm not really into that. But you're kind of into your Pokemon, because that was kind of your generation as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was the right age for Pokemon. Like, this is like, again, a complete sidetrack. And some people of my era who were into Pokemon will love this story. But me and my brother used to collect together, right? And because at the time, I was 10, he was 9. So we collected together. So whenever Dad went and bought some packets, we opened them together. And at least one Sunday morning, he bought us a packet of Pokemon cards and we opened them, and the first card to pop up was like a shiny Charizard, which was like one of the rarest cards.
And I know who Charizard is.
And everyone wanted a Charizard at the time. Anyways, I took our collection into school the next day, and I ended up swapping the Charizard for like 8 shinies. And I come home and I told my brother, and my brother physically attacked me. Like, saw red mist. Like, he was like a defensive end trying to get after a quarterback. He was like that kind of angry, and he went after me. So there's a story that Andrew Wiley might like. But it was an odd one that they went to Andrew Wiley in the first place. Like, it's like, of all the guys to go to, because he's kind of like, we're going to talk about the offensive line in a bit, he's kind of like on the outside looking in now. Like, he started the Super Bowl, but he's not going to be involved. His name's not getting mentioned at all when it comes to offensive line reps now. So it was strange that they highlighted him, but it was good also that they highlighted Orlando Brown. And there's clear hunger from him to really succeed at left tackle. And it's easy to talk about any NFL player, because every NFL player has hunger and desire to do well. But for Orlando Brown, because of the family connection, you can see like that this guy is going to stop at absolutely nothing to succeed in the position that he wants to succeed in.
The thing I liked about Orlando Brown's interview was he looks so calm, so relaxed, just so kind of focused on nobody's going to touch Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think will resonate right the way across that offensive line. Going back to what the franchise had at the beginning, there was a quote on there that basically said the Chiefs basically said to the NFL, whatever happened in the Super Bowl will never happen again. And the signing of Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney and rejigging this complete O-line now has really set that benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait for the seasons to start. I mean, we're going to get into the training camp takeaways in a bit. Going on further on into the Chiefs news, Tyrann Mathieu has responded to a reporter on Twitter regarding a story about the secondary definitely needing Xavien Howard from the Dolphins. Did you see this, Tom?
No, please enlighten me. I thought Tyrann Mathieu hated me this week. Like, yesterday, on Thursday lunchtime, when my phone started going crazy, I was thinking, why is my phone, why are my notifications going mental? And for those of you that don't know, I ran with a story for headlines on Thursday, and the headline itself was the Chiefs, quote, badly need, close quote, Xavien Howard. And I put it out there because, as I do with headlines, if anything is said like that, or if there's anything that's going to generate conversation amongst the Chiefs Kingdom, like something like this would normally do, I put it out there as a headline. There's no point putting a story out there that no one's going to engage with. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing my job properly. Some people might call it clickbait, but at the end of the day, we're trying to generate conversation at Arrowhead Pride. That's why we're a website, is to for you guys to engage in the news and engage with each other. So yeah, I'm not apologizing for that. But what I didn't expect was for Tyrann Mathieu sitting in his bed at St. Joe at 6:30 in the morning KC time to clock onto that and tell us basically that we're funny and we don't need Xavier and Howard, and then start going on about Charvarius Ward and Bashar Breland and telling us how we're ungrateful as Chiefs fans. So yeah, I asked Tyrann. Well, I didn't ask Tyrann. I quoted the tweet and I said, I feel like one of my favorite players hates me right now because Tyrann Mathieu is one of my favorite players. But he responded to me, which is surreal in itself. And he said, he doesn't hate me. He's just got his dogs back. I know what they are capable of and what they are asked to do. It isn't easy. It isn't fun. So Tyrann's okay with me. He's okay with me. But I still feel a little bit like disheartened because he's one of my favorite players. And I took a lot of beef on Twitter yesterday from like people getting involved saying, we don't need Xavier Howard. And I'm like, I know, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, I mean, to your defense, you did, I think it was the day before, or even 2 days before, I think, there were some tweets that you sent out where you were basically saying, no, we don't need Xavier Howard at all. We just don't need him. You know, it'd be nice to have him, but I don't think numbers work, all that kind of thing. You know, you gave your reasons why. Mm-hmm. But you, for you to get flack from somebody else's article, directly from the player that is... Mate, I was laughing my back off because I was actually in the comments trying to stir it up. I was going, you tell him, Tyrann. You tell him.
Here's Brad.
Yeah. And I was actually asking Twitter as well if I can have your blue check mark as well.
The one thing I didn't want to do is I didn't want to throw Matt Miller under the bus because it was Matt Miller that had the quote there. He's the one that said when Xavier Howard first become available for trade.
Bad Matt Miller.
He was the one that said we badly needed Xavier Howard. But I wasn't going to turn around to Tyrann Mathieu and go, sorry, it wasn't me. it was Matt Miller. I wasn't going to do that. I'm not grass.
In that voice as well. It wasn't me. It wasn't me, Tyrann.
So I just sat there. I took it all in. It was a bit surreal. And I'm going to be really careful with what I post on headlines from now on. Like for yesterday, for example, I posted a really nice positive story about Tyrann Mathieu as the headline, how he's like the lead safety in Madden 22. And I was like trying to get back into his good books immediately.
No, it was hilarious. I must admit, it was very good entertainment, and you know, credit to you because you know you could have been, like you said, you could have thrown somebody under the bus about that, but you didn't. You were very professional about it, mate, and hopefully that's all been straightened out between yourself and Tyrann. Also in the Chiefs news, Travis Kelce and Mahomes remain in the Madden 99 club. There's apparently two Chiefs in only five members of the 99 club this year, and they are Devontae Adams, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce. That's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, two out of the five 99s on Madden. I mean, I must admit, I'm not a massive Madden player. And I actually found out something new this week as well, that apparently the reason why I've been playing badly on Madden all this time is because I haven't been using the sliders, apparently, because I actually complained that I've used Tyreek Hill in Madden before, and I've had a speed 76 lineman manage to catch up to him. And apparently I've been playing Madden all wrong all this time.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so maybe I'm playing it wrong.
But apparently the sliders and things like that kind of brings up the realism to it or something.
Okay. I don't know.
I have no idea, mate. But apparently loads of people were telling me about it on Twitter. So apparently it is a thing.
Okay, I'll Google it when I get back. This kind of got revealed in the franchise, didn't it? Because the Travis Kelce video come out on, I believe it was Monday, about him being 99, or Tuesday, whenever it was. And it showed him receiving the bling, the 99 chain. And then when I was
watching... I do want one of those, by the way.
Yeah, when I was watching the franchise, it was showing Patrick Mahomes turn up to camp. And I noticed that day that he was wearing the 99. He was wearing the 99 chain in the franchise. I thought, oh, okay, he's a 99. So it was spoiler alert a little bit from the Chiefs part, because we found out 2 days earlier than we were supposed to, thanks to the franchise. But it's well-deserved. It makes me laugh that Aaron Rodgers isn't 99. I'm not going to lie, because he was the MVP. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time, and he still has some left in the tank. But given all the escapades that he's been up to this past season, and especially this week, I couldn't care less whether Aaron Rodgers is a 99 or not. I just prefer he was 19 as opposed to 99. Like the Packers, quick sidetrack, the Packers are the most unrootable team in the NFL this year. They simply are because of Aaron Rodgers. No one wants Aaron Rodgers to win this year. But back to Madden, 2 out of 5, that's phenomenal. We had a conversation a few weeks ago about how it would be disappointing if the Chiefs don't have multiple rings whilst having such a talented team. And no two players to signify that more than Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. They're phenomenal, the pair of them. And yeah, I reckon Tyreek Hill will probably join them by the end of the year. He's what, a 98, isn't he? So he's only one away. So he's only one away. And I think Tyreek Hill's in for a monster year. So don't be surprised by the end of the season we have 3 99 players on Madden.
Yeah. I wanted to get your opinion on this, because I remember you saying that one of the reasons you are a Chiefs fan is because you used to play the games as well with the Chiefs team, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was that was the old ESPN 2K games, which were miles better.
But you just touched on it there. I mean, Tyreek Hill's a 98. I think Tyrann Mathieu, your friend, is a 95, and he's the best safety on the game, which, again, doesn't kind of correlate to what the other rankings are during all of these these talking heads arguments that they never seem to give Tyrann Mathieu the credit he deserves. Anyway, the last thing, there's a couple of things left in the Chiefs news. Patrick Mahomes has actually bought into another organization where he's part ownership of Sporting KC, which now makes Sporting KC our favorite MLS team.
It does. This is pretty big news. It's another sign that Patrick Mahomes is willing to stay in Kansas City. He sees his future in Kansas City. He came out today and said this community is like taking him on so well since he got there, and he wants to make an impact, and investing in the sports teams is the way he wants to do it. Soccer seems to be the sport that, as a pair, him and Brittany are both heavily invested into it. Like she used to play, I believe, and she's part owner of the Kansas City women's side, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
He come out today, Mahomes, and he said that it was Brittany that like piqued his interest. He said his love of soccer started with Brittany. She has KC NWSL. He wanted to do his own thing. So between them, they own... Well, he doesn't own all of Sporting KC, but they own a large proportion of soccer interests in Kansas City, which is good. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago with the FIFA World Cup potentially coming to Kansas City. It's more sway, global superstar. It goes to show that soccer/football is making waves through Kansas City, and it will continue to do so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it makes you wonder where it's going to stop either as well, because I know there's a lot of people still crying out for an NBA team. Maybe Patrick Mahomes can bring an NBA team along.
They've got
the arena. He may even be part owner in the Chiefs. Who knows?
Maybe. But you're talking about the NBA. That's a good one, because the Sprint Center is an NBA arena in waiting. I don't think it's called the Sprint Center anymore. I think it's the T-Mobile Center now. It was the Sprint Center when I went there anyway. That's ready. That it's a downtown indoor stadium. It's ready for the NBA. So I don't know if they're going to get ice hockey as well, but an NBA team in Kansas City would be great, especially with the breakup of the Big 12 happening. Because obviously before you had the big college Big 12 basketball tournament in Kansas City, I think every February or January, February. And now that's not going to happen because the Big 12 isn't going to exist anymore, is it? So there's going to be a basketball void in Kansas City, and hopefully one day the NBA can fill it.
And we will be fans of that NBA team as well.
I won't. I'm not leaving my boys Dallas. I'm sorry.
You're not leaving Dallas, Mavericks?
No, I'm not. I'm too entrenched now with like the European influence in Dallas. Like I've had Dirk, now I've got Luka. No, I'm well entrenched with the Mavs. I'm sorry.
You're still in with Luka, eh? Yeah. I might have to leave the Sixers. I don't know. The other last thing on the news was Tyreek Hill has stupidly challenged Usain Bolt to a race. I mean, what good's going to come of that? I don't know. I mean, Usain Bolt, the fastest man alive, Tyreek Hill, yes, he's fast. Everybody knows he's fast. And I think it could be a close-ish race, especially in like the 40-yard dash. But I mean, 100 yards, I think Usain Bolt's just leaving Tyreek for dust there, isn't he?
Well, this was you saying, not Tyreek Hill's quote today, because he's kind of like doubled down on it. After going onto a Twitter argument, he doubled down on it again today. So he's not backing down on this at all. He said today, this is the quote, Usain Bolt got out of the game for a reason, right? He's old, he's washed up, and he can't see me at 40 yards. 100-yard dash, yes, that's what he does. But 40-yard dash, Usain Bolt, you cannot see me. Now, originally, when this quote came out, I thought they were talking about a 100-meter race or potentially 200-meter race, of which Usain Bolt holds both world records. But the 40-yard dash. Now, Usain Bolt is the greatest sprinter, the world's fastest man, the fastest man that's ever lived on Earth. But he's not the best starter. He never was the best starter. And I know he's a bit older now, but he never was the best starter. And 40-yard dash is you start, you finish. That's all it is. There's no middle part. There's no, like Usain Bolt through the middle and the end was phenomenal. But the start, he was a little bit lacking. So I don't know. Like before, I was thinking, yeah, Tari, you don't stand a chance. But maybe over 40 yards, with Usain Bolt, what, being retired now, I reckon maybe Tyreek might have him only over 40. Yeah. Anything further than that, if it give Usain Bolt like time to get pull up, build up some steam, then absolutely not. I know Usain Bolt said that he ran a 4.22 in like pajamas once.
Pajamas and was it, I don't know what he said, slippers or something. I don't know what it was, but which I can believe, because you know, Usain Bolt is one of the most phenomenal athletes that we've ever seen on the planet. And in his prime, without a doubt, you know, he's I can believe he can do a 4.22. But wasn't Tyreek something like 4.24 unofficially or something?
Yeah, he's obviously only done the unofficial one. He hasn't done the official combine one. He never went to the combine. So I don't know. I don't know where I stand on this. It's gone from being ridiculous to thinking actually, an old Usain Bolt versus a Tyreek Hill in his peak might be a lot closer than I originally thought. As I said, if it was over 100 yards, absolutely not. Usain Bolt would destroy him. But 40 yards, maybe, just maybe, Tyreek Hill might be able to do that. If they put them both in pads, Tyreek Hill will kill him.
Yeah.
He'll kill him. But maybe not. In pajamas, Usain Bolt might just have him.
Pajamas.
But it's got to happen, though, hasn't it? It has to happen, because they were talking about this a few years ago. I think it was the Super Bowl that we weren't in. It was before when did we draft Mecole Hardman? It was before then. So what, the 2018-19 draft? So
2018, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it was the Super Bowl then. So it was the Rams versus the Patriots. And I think those two were like hooking up during the week and like doing some promo stuff. And I remember them talking then about racing. So now this conversation has been going on for like 2.5 years now. Like, let's get this thing done. Like, let's line them up wherever the race needs to be, in a stadium, on a football field, wherever. Let's get Tyreek Hill versus Usain Bolt. Let's do it.
Charity event. I think they should do it for charity maybe as well.
Yeah. Every NFL fan would tune into that.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, mate. Without a shadow of a doubt. All right, then. I think we'll leave it for now. We're going to head to a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about our takeaways from Chiefs training camp. Hi there, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, Brad Simcox, and Tom Childs. We're going to be talking about Chiefs training camp and some of the takeaways that we've got so far. I think one of the main takeaways so far is that the rookies really are making sure that people are standing up and watching them. It's interesting to see. I mean, we're going to get into talking about the likes of Noah Gray and Nick Bolton later on, but one of the key things that we're really interested in, we've mentioned in previous shows, is Chris Jones is really finding life comfortable at defensive end. And he actually told reporters that he loves rushing from the edge. And he would have actually had a sack in camp this week had it been a full contact training. Mm. I've not really seen much of Chris Jones on the videos that we see, because we don't really seem to see a lot, do we, Tom? We kind of get fed things that, you know, from fans at the training camp, and obviously through Pete Sweeney, who's Arrowhead Pride, and he's actually stationed there giving us some of the information. But what do you think of Chris Jones's comments? I mean, for me, it just seems a little bit crazy to realize that Chris Jones is really finding life comfortable at defensive end.
Yeah, he seems to enjoy it, doesn't he? He really does seem to enjoy it. Like, he's played snaps there before. I think he played, like, was it 25 to 30% of snaps there last year. Mm. So playing defensive end isn't alien to him, but it's looking like that he's deadly serious about making that step up. And it must be the addition of Jaron Reed that's allowed him to kick outside. Now we have Jaron Reed in there. We have, like, the likes of him, Turk Wharton, Derek Nardi. So we have these defensive tackles that can make do without Chris Jones being in there, which is allowing Chris Jones to kick out onto the outside. He's playing with the one. So whoever he's talking about having a sack, he's lining up opposite Orlando Brown or Mike Remmers. So Mike Remmers at right tackle is serviceable. Orlando Brown at left tackle is expected to be good. So it wouldn't have been an easy deal for him to beat one of those guys to get a sack. I saw a report today that there's not meant to be any contact on the quarterback, and Chris Jones got caught hugging Patrick Mahomes. Like, don't do that. Don't you hurt our Pat. Like, we could go off players really quickly if they injured Pat Mahomes. Like really, really quickly. But I'm here for it. The lack of depth behind him, like, you've got Alex Okafor, you've got Taco Charlton, Mike Dana. Those guys are serviceable, but they aren't exciting. So having Chris Jones out on the edge, if he's just as effective on the edge as he is in the interior, then we are laughing. We really are laughing. But let's wait until the pads come on. Let's wait until we see some preseason games. Let's wait until week one. Let's see how they line him up in those games. And then we'd be able to make like a determination whether he's actually going to be effective or not in the coming season.
Yeah, I think the thing that I'm really looking forward to seeing is the fact that it's really going to keep offenses really kind of guessing what's going on, because Chris Jones has always been a factor on the interior. But, you know, having him coming on the outside and running at you from the edge, this defense is already looking as though it's going to be really kind of complicating matters in any quarterback's head, because you've got so many different moving parts going on. I mean, we've mentioned before about Lajarius Sneed. You know, he's another one that you can bring in as kind of like a nickel, and having that added kind of confusion with Chris Jones. Is he interior? Is he outside? I love it. Seeing the defensive side, you kind of work out what's going to come next. I mean, even to the untrained eye like me, you know whether it's going to be a blitz or whether it's going to be, you know, a cover play or anything like that. But having Chris Jones in there, you just really don't know what's going to happen, do you?
No. And it's a lot of it's dependent on the push that the interior guys get as well. Yeah. There's no point having Frank Clark and Chris Jones on the edge beating their tackles and forcing the quarterback to step up if Turk Wharton and Jaron Reed aren't pushing the pocket backwards as well. So you kind of need all four to work together. And I feel like that the Chiefs must be comfortable with Reed and Wharton to allow Chris Jones to do this, to lose some weight, to actually put some genuine effort and some genuine time into this transition into a defensive end. Otherwise, if they weren't comfortable, I don't think they would do it, because Chris Jones in the middle is such a monster. Yeah, there's no point making a strength a weakness if the position you're trying to upgrade doesn't upgrade enough. You need them both to upgrade. Otherwise, it's just not worth it. But the Chiefs clearly feel comfortable with it, and I'm excited to see it.
I like the fact that Chris Jones made a prediction that he was going to get 23 sacks when there was a fan actually shouted out saying, I want 20 out of you this year, Chris Jones. And he's like, 23. It was just like, yeah, just let's just up it up. Let's just go for the sack record. Why not?
If he gets 23 sacks from defensive end, he will be getting the largest contract in NFL history for a defensive player. Like, let's be honest. If he got 23 sacks from the interior, he'd be getting an even bigger contract. But 23 sacks from defensive end would be phenomenal. Would be record breaking, wouldn't it? Or record tying?
Yeah,
we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, for sure. It's actually interesting as well. Just staying on the Chris Jones chat. He's kind of not getting involved with this kind of matching up to Aaron Donald, is he?
No.
He's not kind of bothered by that. He's more along the lines of, you know what, this is probably what I want to do more. I want to get really kind of into the defensive end side of things. You know, people have been kind of comparing him a little bit to Aaron Donald, but I mean, Aaron Donald's he's one of those generational talents again, isn't he? He's a phenomenal talent, and to try and go head to head with Aaron Donald sounds a bit crazy. So I think Chris is really thinking about, you know what, how am I going to get to the quarterback the best? And I think he feels that he can really do a job on the defensive end. And that's the position he really wants to go for. Like you said, he's slimmed down as well. He's slimmed down for the position. Mm-hmm. He's really making a go of it. So looking forward to seeing what he can do in the season. Anyway, moving on. Noah Gray is receiving huge praise from the Chiefs and from Monday Night Football analyst Lewis Riddick. Apparently, Riddick tweeted out, Noah Gray, tight end, don't forget the name, he's going to be fire emoji. He's really kind of been given this opportunity now, hasn't he, with the fact that Kelsey's been held out of training recently because of a back/hip injury. What have you seen so far from Noah Gray that you think, do you know what, he is the baby Kelsey, to quote Pizza.
I've seen people saying baby Kelsey. That's what I've seen. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because they are in helmets, but like shells, aren't they? They haven't got pads on at the moment. So it is really tough to gauge how well certain players are doing. But everything's going in the right direction. If Lewis Riddick is coming out and saying something about the Chiefs, then it's true, because he is so plugged in with the franchise, with Andy Reid as well. Like, if there's a go-to guy for the Chiefs, it's Lewis Riddick. If Lewis Riddick says it, believe it. That's the way I see things. Similar to how of Terrez was as well. If Terrez says something, you believed it. I'm the same way with Lewis Riddick. What I've seen, clips, I love it. He seems to have good bursts. He runs clean routes. He's got good hands, which is always good for a tight end, because it's been so long since we've had another tight end not named Travis Kelce who can be a capable backup. Like Demetrius Harris, he showed...
I knew it.
He showed flashes. He showed flashes.
I knew you were going to bring him up. I knew it.
He was a typical backup tight end. He showed flashes, but he also had huge holes in his game, and sometimes he had huge holes in his hands as well. Like, that's just the way it is. But if we can get a serviceable, decent tight end that can come in and make it look like Travis Kelce isn't missing, then we are onto something. Because, like I've sat here and said before, we are a Travis Kelce injury away from disaster, because he is so important to this offense. And if we've now got a capable backup that can perform at even like 75% of Travis Kelce's level, then we're laughing. He's young. He's the heir apparent to Travis Kelce. And okay, it's hard not to overreact, because we are only like 3 or 4 days into Chiefs camp. They haven't even put pads on yet. But when you're seeing these type of reports from the likes of Lewis Riddick, from the likes of Pete, from all the guys that are at training camp that are seeing it with their own eyes and seeing this burst from the line, seeing how well that this guy is doing, then it's hard not to get excited. I just hope that when we get to preseason and Travis Kelce takes a lot of snaps off, because he will, because he's a vet, he's like a 7-year vet, he doesn't need to play preseason. I hope Noah Gray really shows up and causes headaches for defensive coordinators, because if you've now got Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then you've got the two tight ends in that can both run decent routes and catch footballs, then again, it's just a more headaches for defensive coordinators. So there's potential for this to be a really, really big move for the Chiefs, this particular draft pick. And I really hope that it does work out that way.
I don't think Noah Gray would mind the Baby Kelce kind of tagline, would he?
No, it's not.
I think that's a real good compliment. There is a bit of a downside, but again, it's only been a few days, but Creed Humphrey has had a bit of a rough start to camp. Apparently, he's botched two or three snaps to Mahomes. It is good to get these things ironed out in Chiefs camp, though. I mean, we saw that with Mahomes a couple of years ago, didn't we? When I think the whole of social media went absolutely crazy at the fact that Mahomes had thrown something like 8 picks or something, you know, in training camp. Creed Humphrey, I still believe in the guy. I mean, you know, he's one of the best centers around, and it's just probably nerves at the end of the day. You know, rookies at the end of the day, you can't expect all of these rookies to be on point straight away and getting to grips with everything that's going on in the professional kind of NFL team. So for me, Creed Humphrey, stick at it, son. Keep going. Mahomes, he'll probably have a whisper in his ear now and again, just going, do you know what? Just settle it down. Calm it down, lad.
Typical Sunday morning captain, yeah? Sunday league captain. Just calm down, lads. Make some plays.
Calm down, lads. Relax.
I found it interesting that you were ready to call Creed Humphrey one of the best centers in the league already. Like,
Let's not go crazy, Tom.
90 days into his NFL career, hasn't even played a single snap yet, and you're sitting there calling him one of the best centers in football. I know we're all high on this offensive line, but that's maybe a little too high already. Yeah. But no, it's nerves. They're getting used to each other. Like, they're getting used to the way that each other work. He's a left-handed center, so he snaps with his left hand, which is going to be different from what Mahomes has seen before. It's not a big deal. They've got, 7-8 weeks? Well, 5-6 weeks to get this sorted. I'm not worried in the slightest about snaps at all. I'm not. It will all line itself out before the season starts.
Exactly that, mate. The interesting thing is another rookie, Trey Smith, was in with the ones at right guard with Remmers at right tackle. Is this a good indication that Smith will start week one, do you think?
100%. Like, 100%. Yes. He's starting week one. He is holding all the cards now. It's now up to Larry to win that job back. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're all so excited about Trey Smith. Everyone said that he shouldn't have been drafted where he was. He had first and second round talent. It was injuries that are the reason why he dropped. The Chiefs have got a steal here. They have got an absolute steal here. And you've got Andy Reid sitting there who's now willing to play two rookies on his offensive line from day one of Chiefs camp. That doesn't happen. That does not happen unless he has complete faith in those guys. And they're fresh guys. They don't have bad habits from other franchises. They don't have the memories of the Super Bowl. They don't know disappointment in the NFL. Let's just start afresh. Let's go for Project Youth on the offensive line. I would love to see Lucas Niang at right tackle. It's not going to happen. It's going to be Mike Remmers, but I'm kind of okay with that because Mike Remmers at right tackle last year was pretty good. The problems was when we asked him to move to left tackle for the Super Bowl. That's where it all went Pete Tong. So I'm okay with Mike Remmers, but I'm so excited about Trey Smith. I am so excited to see what this guy can do. Like, he talks about violence, which is all you want to hear about offensive line. You want to hear him talking well, but then start talking about violence and have that little bit of attitude. He has that. He just has it. He just oozes like prototypical offense, nasty offensive lineman. So yeah, bring him in. Let's bring up these four guys from Brown to Trey Smith together, and then eventually add Lucas Niang, and then you've got an offensive line for 4 or 5 years at minimum there. I love it.
Yeah. We keep bringing up the kind of factor of what a story can be as well. And with the likes of Trey Smith, he has this kind of story now where he's like, do you know what? All these teams passed on me. Mm-hmm. Through the draft, nobody believed in me. I dropped and dropped and dropped in draft. He's hungry. He's really excited to actually get on this, and he's muscled his way into this offensive line straight away, hasn't he?
Yeah,
straight from the off. And like you said, I think the Chiefs are very high on him, and they believe in the guy. And his mindset's right. He's excited. He's hungry. I really can't wait to see him start week one. I really can't. But apparently Niang had started a few snaps today, didn't he? I think Pete Sweeney reported that Niang was on the right, and apparently Remmers came back in later on. So they're still testing. The Chiefs are still testing that right side. But I mean, I'm not worried about the right side. I'm more bothered about the left-hand side, the blind side. And that just seems sorted.
With the Niang thing, I think feel like they're giving him snaps because he's clearly their backup swing tackle. So yeah, he's now in a position where if any of the two go down, he's gonna fill that position. So they need to give him snaps on the right and the left during training camp. And I expect to see a heavy dose of Lucas Niang in the preseason as well. Mm. I'm not too sure whether we're going to see much of the other guys in like the third preseason game, but we'll see a heavy dose of Lucas Niang because he's got some catching up to do. He missed a year of football because of COVID. So any work he can get is beneficial. But I just want to ask you a quick question before we get out of here. Like what guy are you looking to step up in the next week? Like, so we've got another week until we record, another week of Chiefs camp, loads more footage, loads more content coming our way. Which guy for you is like the one that you want to see more of in the next week? And you can't say Nick Bolton.
Do you know what? Right. Outside of Nick Bolton, before Chiefs camp started, I really wanted to see what Willie Gay could do.
Yes.
Because we saw what he did previously, obviously before he got injured. And I like what I saw from him. But recently in this Chiefs camp, Willie Gay looks like an absolute boss. Mm. And I cannot get him out of my head at the minute that the fact that he's breaking up players that have been kind of thrown by Patrick Mahomes, and you know Patrick Mahomes has been going for his number one target, Tyreek Hill, and Willie Gay is there and he's batting the ball down and he's making sure that his presence is there. If there was anybody I wanted to really kind of step up, especially with the fact that you know Hitchens has gone down, I think he's injured recently, isn't he, Hitchens?
Yes, he is.
And Willie Gay has kind of stepped up and kind of commanded this presence. I'm really on board with this Willie Gay bandwagon. I really am. I don't know about you. What do you think?
I agree. I think Willie Gay needs to put himself in a position to play this year. He has to.
Yeah.
He needs to play the will.
He has to be a starter.
He has to start. It has to be Hitchens and him. It'd be great if we could get clued up enough that we could take Ben Neiman out in the dime packages and put Willie Gay in because he has the physical tools to play in coverage on those sort of downs. It would be great if we could see him. A guy that I'm looking forward to seeing more of is Mecole Hardman. It'd be interesting to see how they work him into the offense because there is some competition there now. And he's talked a good game this offseason, Mecole Hardman. He's certainly talked the talk. Now I want to see him walk the walk. There was a play today, excuse me, I think Mahomes threw a rainbow of a pass.
Yeah.
And he beat Charvarius Ward for legs, but Charvarius Ward got back and managed to bat the ball down. It'd be nice.
I saw that,
Great play by Charvarius Ward. Really good play by Charvarius Ward. But it would have been even better if we saw Mecole Hardman go up and get that ball. It would have been like strong catch. Like we've seen Tyreek Hill do a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting here saying I want Mecole Hardman to be Tyreek 2.0. That's unreasonable. Tyreek Hill is a generational talent in terms of speed and route running as well. Like put the whole package, rather. I don't want to just sit here and say, oh, Tyreek Hill was all speed. He's the package. But it'd be nice to see Mecole Hardman now take that step up in the next few weeks, really make that WR2 position his own. And I'm looking forward to seeing what type of buzz we get around Mecole in the next week or so.
Wasn't it nice to see Charvarius Ward turn his head when he did?
Yes.
On that play.
It was simple, phenomenal.
I've never seen a Chiefs cornerback do that before.
It's so simple, isn't it? Isn't it crazy like how you just get, like you watch the tiniest thing in Chiefs camp and all you're seeing is like the tiniest improvement. But it's an improvement, and that improvement means that your team is getting better. Like in the overall picture, it's such a tiny little thing, like Charvarius Ward managing to turn his head. But those are the type of things that could make a difference in games. Yeah. Like, it's just simple, like getting your eyes on the ball and making a play on the ball. Potentially that could eventually lead to intercepting the ball for all we know. It's like it's such small improvements. They talk about all the time, the Chiefs getting better every day. And if we can see that throughout Chiefs camp, as the Chiefs camp go on and throughout the preseason games rolling into the season, then an upgraded version of the 2020 Chiefs going into 2021 is something to get really excited about. Yes, you can sit there and say every team's going to improve. That's not true. It just doesn't happen. We see it every year. Teams go from good to bad, from bad to good. If the Chiefs can be a good team and become a great team, then it's all the potential to be a really special season. And little things like seeing Charvarius Ward turning his head on a rainbow pass is just the beginning of that.
The other thing I wanted to touch on, another takeaway that we've got there, is the fact that the Chiefs seem to be working on screens and short passes, including Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It looks to be a new focus. And we've mentioned this on previous podcasts, that we didn't understand why CEH was never kind of involved in that short game. And yes, you've got that generational talent in Patrick Mahomes, and you want to look for the 80-yard bombs for sure, without a doubt. But to move that ball and to move those chains, I think you really need to kind of adapt and kind of add a little bit of that kind of short game as well, and include CEH in that. And especially with this O-line, I think you mentioned it before in a tweet about CEH, that you are really looking forward to seeing CEH operate behind this offensive line.
Yeah, and not only in the run game, but also in the pass game. Like, we've got guys there that are going to be really good in space, like guys that will be able to get out into the flats and then block for screen plays. Like, Andy Reid is so like famous for screen plays. We've seen we've seen him use screen plays in like the most craziest situations, when we're trying to ice a game and he's throwing a screen play to ice a playoff game or something like that. It's just mad. There was one a couple of years ago he done to Spencer Ware and to ice a game. I can't remember the opponent, but it was such a ballsy call. But Andy Reid trusts his screen game that much that he's willing to do that. And for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to really make that step up and to really get those receiving yards, he's going to have to be a factor in the screen game. It's what Jamal Charles was excellent at. And I'm not sitting there saying I want Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be Jamal Charles level, because Jamal Charles is one of the greatest running backs of all time. I don't care what anyone says.
I agree.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to get to that level. But if he can get to a very good level in the passing game, especially in the screen game, and with having those big guys out in front that can move in space, then it's just another weapon. It's just another, a little bit that the Chiefs can add to their arsenal. And I'm going to stop saying I'm here for it, but with Chiefs camp, I am all here for
it.
everything I've seen so far this week, I'm just getting giddy about. And it's crazy, because we are watching practice. That's all we're watching. But we've been so starved of football for so long, and we're all so hungry after the disappointment of the Super Bowl, that we just want to take it all in. And again, we're getting excited about Charvarius Ward turning his head. Now we're getting excited about Clyde Edwards-Helaire catching screen passes and seeing Creed Humphrey out in space trying to find to go to the second level, seeing Joe Tooney get to the second level on a screen game. It's just all coming together, Chiefs Kingdom. And I feel like we need to end this show before I go too mad and wake all my kids up and go crazy.
Can I just say, your hands and your arms are going absolutely mental at the moment. It's week one of training camp. Can you realize how much we've missed football, Chiefs football? The Tom's getting so excited. But yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, the rookies really have kind of stepped up in this Chiefs camp. Again, we've got to kind of settle it down a little bit, because it is week one. And we've got quite a few sessions to go yet until preseason starts. But from what we've seen so far, the Chiefs seem to be addressing everything that went wrong in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that kind of fills our hopes up. And I think the rest of the Chiefs Kingdom as well, that we're looking at a Chiefs organization that recognizes what went wrong, how they need to rectify it, and what they need to do moving forward. And going back to what we did at the top of the show, which was talking about the franchise, I think a lot of Chiefs fans have realized that game of the Super Bowl is probably going to be the making of us, because we were on a high. We were obviously on a high going into the second back-to-back Super Bowl. It's been unheard of in this franchise. And going forward now, I really believe that the Chiefs are probably the most well-run organization. You know, this organization really understands what it means to reach Super Bowls, to win Super Bowls. And I think I'm just going to leave it at that.
At the end of the day, I look at the Super Bowl like, it, as painful as that particular night was, if the end result of that one really bad night is the Chiefs draft and build the offensive line that protects Patrick Mahomes for 4 to 5 years and enables us to get to 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls and potentially win a couple of those as well, then I'll happily take that. And I'd happily sit down and watch that Super Bowl every year if I had to.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's all we've got time for this week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. You can listen to the Great British Chiefs Show every Saturday as we build up to the start of the new season. And if you have the time, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts on how we're doing. You can also listen to more Chiefs-related content on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Go check out Matt and Ron as well. It was great being on their show on the Out of Structure podcast too. And I want to give a big shout out to Chiefs or Die, the brothers and sisters of Chiefs or Die as well. You know who you are. All that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.